Throughout history, there have been great moves of God. Join Gloria Copeland and Billy Grimm as they discuss the power behind past great awakenings and show that the same power is available to the church today. Now here's Gloria.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Don't go anywhere for the next little bit, because Billy's got some things about the end time that you want to know. I want to know. I'm looking forward to it.
And about right now.
Well, right now.
Right now.
Pretty close.
Yes, right now.
So don't go away and watch this.
Now, you know, I've been talking, Gloria, for the past couple of days, and you can get this on Roku and on Gloria's network and all kinds of places you can catch up with where we are now. But I've been talking about how the Lord has called me to head up a campaign to mobilize prayers. He's anointed me to mobilize prayers to pray first of all for our nation. And I said that came about because, just like it says in 1 Timothy 2, 1, mm-hmm. pray first of all for presidents, kings, it says, and those in authority. Of course, now we have presidents. And so I told about how I got into this campaign, and we were in a political campaign. We were going to have a president of the United States election, November 2016. And God brought into my life, and I told yesterday in detail, don't have time to go over it again, a man who was a former Muslim that had been born again supernaturally. We're all supernaturally born again, but he had been heard an audible voice like many Muslims do, either have a dream or... And then after that, the Lord continued to appear to him in open-eyed visions. And in September, he asked me to judge those visions. In September 2016, the Lord told him Donald Trump is going to be the next president of the United States. Now, here's a part. He said, I have prepared him. And he talked about how he was not ready in 2008. He was not ready in 2012. And he was... prepared, then the Lord told him, now you can take this or not take it, that he moved upon him to run in 2015 for president. So, but I want to just key on the fact that the Lord said he prepared him. Now, we know this is biblical. What did he say to the prophet Jeremiah? I knew you in your mother's womb.
Yeah.
Yes. He knew the Lord in his mother's womb. He knew you in your mother's womb. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, we know not the time when the father of spirits puts the spirit into the womb. Now, the mother and the father, by the way, the order of things that God has made, the mother and father prepare, they provide the body. But the father of spirits provides the spirit. I don't know how it all works. But if a man's going to be president of the United States in the end of days, and I think Jesus is coming very soon, Gloria, surely God has something to do with his preparation.
Absolutely.
And he told that to Max. He said, I prepared him. Now, I believe that his preparation of Donald Trump to be president had a big part of it was played in an awakening that happened on a very remote place. Several awakenings. We're talking about awakenings. What is the difference between an awakening and a revival? In my study of awakenings, when God told us at Prayer Mountain to pray in an awakening, I found this in Ireland's Lost Heritage by David Carnduff. Ireland knew a great awakening. Northern Ireland knew one called the Ulster Awakening in 1859. And I was reading the history of that, and I found this very good explanation of what is the difference between an awakening and a revival. And this is what he wrote. A revival could be described as a visitation of God's Spirit on God's people. But an awakening as a time of such intense visitation that both the Christian and non-Christian communities are affected. Revivals alter the lives of individuals. Awakenings alter the worldview of a whole people or culture. An awakening affects the whole of society.
Wow. Hmm.
And that's what happened in the United States in its awakenings. We'll talk about that later on. Wow. But it's exactly what happened on the remote island of Lewis, where Donald Trump's mother, Mary McLeod, was born. a remote, remote island in a sparsely populated place. My theory is that the almost non-paralleled awakenings incubated on the remotest of remote islands was bound to have an effect on Donald Trump's mother, Mary McLeod.
Praise God.
For it affected the entire population and held it separate, like incubated, this Lewis Island for at least a century and a half. Not only did Lewis Island experience one awakening, but it experienced many, beginning with the most powerful awakening in 1820. Its first great powerful awakening, 1820, 44 years after the American Revolutionary War began, and 40 years before the Civil War began.
Isn't that something?
Lewis Island experienced the first of its many awakenings, and it seems as if God has been hovering over this remote island for decades, even 100-plus years, never allowing that islander and its people to lose the sense of his presence. Now, in this book, Sounds from Heaven, it's written by Colin and Mary Peckham, and they were a part of the 1949 to 1952 outpouring and awakening. But Lewis Island had experienced them for years. It was just that a man named Donald Campbell came from Scotland, and he recorded what happened in this outpouring, but they had known many. And I believe you need to know to understand this place. They'll put up a map of this island chain. The Hebrides. I'm reading from this book, Sounds from Heaven. The Hebrides is a series of islands 40 miles west of the most northerly part of Scotland. Lewis Island is the most northerly island, and Harris is attached to it in the south, forming one island about 60 miles long with a population of 25,000 people. This is in 2004. This book was published. So it's not, well, very heavily populated. These islands are the first to face the might of the Atlantic gales, and their bleak, windswept, treeless topography bears witness to the effect of the severe weather. The stretch of water between the mainland of Scotland and the Hebrides is called the Minch, and currents there are such that the seafaring men of Lewis Island would say that it's one of the choppiest of waters to negotiate. At the time of the 1949 revival, the sailings to Lewis took a journey from the mainland, took a journey of 7 hours in a boat. 7 hours on a small, rolling, and pitching vessel is something to be endured, not enjoyed. So the Hebrides were not the popular destination of tourists, and they retained their isolated position. Today, in 2004, of course, it's easier to sail there, but for many, many, many years, it was very, very isolated. To that isolated place, there was a man named John McLeod. There are a lot of people named McLeod on that island. It's a common name. Donald Trump's mother was Mary McLeod.
Well,
I would say that she was, descended from this John McLeod. But John McLeod came over only 10 years after 1776, our Revolutionary War. Now, he was born 10 years after in 1786, and he came over to the island like a missionary. And the people there spoke Gaelic. And so he came to Lewis. He had a Gaelic translation of the Bible. He taught them to read the Bible, and he exhorted them to seek God, and he had it instituted in the schools where it remained forever that they teach the Bible as a textbook. And so then, after he's there a while, they had their first great awakening. I'm going to read that about that on from this book. His sermons, as he would preach, would be often interrupted by the weeping of the people. The Spirit of God began to move all over the island, and people were seeking God with all their hearts. This is in 1820. In 1828, the whole island seemed to be moved with one great and powerful emotion. The spirit of prayer was very marked during these times. The 1820s placed Lewis Island firmly in evangelical and biblical truth. It gave the people to know the reality of the living God, cause them to experience the presence of God, thus laying the foundation for all the many revivals that followed in many places in Lewis down the years. A new day had dawned in its history, and revival was to persist in ebbs and flows from that time on. I'm going to go now and read you more about it. Now, this book, as I said, is mainly about one of those outpourings. They had their first outpouring. They had their great outpouring in 1820. It was an awakening. And the people came to God, and in effect, the whole people of the whole island, all of the peoples of the island. They had the Bible as a textbook. Now, the people would have this move of God where the whole island had a presence of God, and then time would come and it would wane. And the older ones who had seen this great outpouring, they would see that the young people were kind of getting off, you know, kind of getting worldly, and they weren't so, however worldly you could be on such a remote place. And so they'd pray. They'd get busy praying, and they'd pray in another awakening, another outpouring. Wow. So when the 1949 revival came, and it got it was documented because a man came over from the island, from Scotland. His name was Duncan Campbell. He got there. He said, people thought I carried revival in my pocket. I did not. It was prayed in. There were two very elderly sisters. One of them was blind, and the other one had arthritis so that she could hardly move. And they decided they had to have a move of God again. So they prayed. They said, we can pray. We'll pray every day from 5 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock. We'll pray for a move of God. And they prayed in Duncan Campbell to come. They told the local pastor, we believe Duncan Campbell's supposed to come. He was a well-known evangelist. He said, I can't come. I'm too busy. Then the Lord dealt with him to go there. When he got there after riding 7 hours on those choppy waters, they got him by the hand. They said, come to the church now. He really needed to rest, but they were waiting on him down at the church. And they had outpouring. So this book, Sounds from Heaven, by Colin and Mary Peckham, P-E-C-K-H-A-M, records that revival.
Wow.
But it wasn't the first. And I want to read to you the conditions on that island. The young people knew the Bible because it was taught at school. It had happened since the 1820. Virtually the whole community at that stage honored the Word of God, all the peoples, and respected the things of God as a consequence. They were theologically educated, and many tried as much as they could to live up to that which they knew to be true, keeping the Sunday strictly as the day of worship when no work was done. There was an acknowledgement and an acceptance of spiritual things. The influences of past revivals had an enormous effect upon the daily lives of the people. But Mary, who wrote this, says, successive revivals in the island since the Great Revival in 1820 had brought the Scriptures into prominence in the schools. And there we were taught in school to honor the Word of God, to memorize it. We all memorized many psalms. The islanders only sang the psalms. And on that DVD we're offering, you can hear them singing them. And they sang many of them in Gaelic. You can go online and hear them sing them in Gaelic. Whole chapters in both English and Gaelic they memorized in the Psalms. In our own home, Mary writes, my unsaved father would conduct family worship each night. You see, it was taught from the beginning back in the 1820s, you need to have a family altar. You need to raise your people up with biblical, your children with biblical values. Her father was not born again. The years had passed and he hadn't had a new birth experience. But they had a family altar. Now, I'm going to get ahead of myself, and I'm going to tell you here, this was what pervaded the whole island. And this was the way it was when little Mary McLeod grew up there, who came to be Donald Trump's mother.
Is that right?
Yes. So,
well, how interesting.
Now here, the whole place, it was awakenings they had, because the whole of the island was affected. And Mary writes this, a righteousness and a decency prevailed throughout the island. In one certain town, there was only one policeman. He existed mainly to fill in papers and sign forms. In Barvis, 15 miles from there, there was another single policeman. And no one would dream, they had peat, that they would cut the peat and use it for fuel. They'd stack it up. No one would dream of stealing it. As their business, they wove tweeds and materials, and they just stack them out by the side and wait for the trucks to come and pick them up, you know, and carry them back to the mainland to sell. And nobody would ever steal them. The knowledge of the Word of God and the attitude to the things of God throughout the island formed a basic foundation for the Spirit to operate in unusual power.
That's pretty much all they knew, wasn't it?
That's pretty much all they knew. So when the preacher came for the 1949 outpouring, he didn't have to explain who Moses or Abraham or Philip or Nicodemus were. These things were known. He would not have had to instruct the people in the rightness of biblical morality, for that was accepted. They knew, acknowledged, and believed the word of the Lord and accepted its standards. So then they had their revivals. Born in prayer and prayer without ceasing. Mm. And then they had this great outpouring. Now, here's my theory, which you don't have to accept if you don't want to.
Thank you.
But Donald Trump's mother, Mary McLeod, in 1930, this would have been what she was raised up in. I don't know if she was born again. I don't know if her family was born again, but I can guarantee you they had a family altar at her house, and they read the Bible. Then in 1930, you know, the world is going to go into a depression state, the Great Depression, 1929, and think about little Lewis Island out there. And so Mary then came on a boat, which probably took her 7 hours. She came to the United States to her sister, who was already here, and she put down on her papers that she entered that she was a house servant, a housemaid. I think she got a job like as a nanny. And then she was a very beautiful lady, and she met Donald Trump's father, and they married.
How interesting is that?
It's a very, very interesting. Now, when Donald Trump took the inaugural oath, you remember it, he had two Bibles. I thought of this morning when I was writing my notes. He literally swore on a stack of Bibles. You know how people will say, I swear on a stack of Bibles.
Yep.
He swore in on a stack of Bibles. Mm-hmm. And one of the Bibles that he used was the Lincoln, the one that Abraham Lincoln was sworn in on. And the other one was a Bible that his mother gave him when he graduated from the Presbyterian Sunday School. And it looked, I saw pictures of this. I think it was on Wikipedia. And I saw pictures of this, a little graduation picture, and I think they were about 12 years old. And there he is. It looks just like Barron. You know his little son, Barron, who is so tall, and he's only 11 years old now, but people think he's a lot older. There's Donald Trump standing up there in the back, and he's tall, look like Barron, or Barron looks like him. And his mother gave him that Bible when he graduated from that Sunday school. And he you know, he has his hand on it there.
Now, where is that picture?
It's on Wikipedia.
On Wikipedia.
Yeah. And if you remember on that we watched of Kenneth Copeland, he had his hand on the Bible as Kenneth Copeland prayed for him. And can we show that again right now?
I'd like to see it.
Father, you said in your word,
yes, Lord,
any man that lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all men glory and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavers. For any man that wavers is like the blowing wind on the water. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. No man can be successful as President of the United States without your wisdom. And so we ask you today to give this man your wisdom boldly.
Yes.
Make sure and certain that he hears.
Yes.
Manifest yourself to him. And we thank you and praise you for a bold man. A strong man,
yes,
and an obedient man.
Yes.
We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Did you see that? He had his hand on that Bible. And the Bible that he had his hand on when he was sworn in the inauguration was the one his mother gave him. Now, my theory is, Shelley heard him say this, my daughter heard him say this on TV, that his mother read him stories from the Bible as a child. Mm. Well, that was what the people of Lewis Island did. They believed that you were supposed to raise up your children with the knowledge of the Bible. So I think that's a part of God's preparation of him. In my own mind, I believe this, that part of his preparation had to do with the preparation of Mary McLeod, and that God had her on that very remote island where there's probably no place else on earth that those conditions existed, that the whole of the population accepted the Bible and had family altars, whether or not they were born again. So I don't...
What are the odds of that boy becoming president of the United States?
What are the odds? That's what I say, Gloria.
Good night.
I can't prove it, but you can't prove it didn't
happen.
That's
right. Isn't that something? That is so interesting. We'll be right back.
This ministry began on prayer. I was studying one afternoon and I realized that on the day of Pentecost, the church did not begin in the street with preaching. It was a great meeting, great outpouring of miracles, but that's not where it started. It started in the upper room with a group of people praying and the Holy Ghost came. I thought, hey, that's the plan. Let's follow the plan. So I began to pray about it. The very first staff member to ever come into Kenneth Copeland Ministries, first person that we ever brought in on a full-time paid basis, was the prayer. And that's when things began to take place. And it is still that way today. Amen. The prayer ministry is first and foremost. And so as partners of this ministry, you are prayed for every day of the world and will continue to be until Jesus returns. Praise the Lord. Amen. Not only just by Gloria and me, but by people that God has called into that place and into that ministry to pray.
First of all, pray for your leaders and for an awakening to God in your nation. Experience living in His presence and power personally and nationally. The First of All package includes three life-changing resources by Billy Brim. The book First of All and the Awakenings shows you the priority God places on prayer for those in authority. Our prayers are critical for our nation to fulfill its purpose and destiny. The mini book, How to Rightly Divide the Word, teaches you how to become an effective Bible student, avoid errors of interpretation, and understand God's prophetic purpose for the Jews, the nations, and the church. In the Wind of the Spirit DVD, hear firsthand accounts from those who experienced the Isle of Lewis revival. Be a nation changer. Pray for an awakening and outpouring of God's Spirit in your country. Order the First of All package for only $24. See the importance of praying for leaders and people in authority. Bring the fabulous outpourings to your nation. Visit our website, kcm.org/TV special, or call 800-600-7395. Marvelous things can happen in a nation of believers who pray for the power of God to pour out on their land. Order your package today.
There is a spiritual awakening happening around the world. In an awakening, people turn to God. Mm-hmm. Their hearts turn toward Him. As believers, we play a big part in praying in the things of God. Billy's got some things that'll help us.
Oh, Gloria, we got a telephone call from Brother Copeland, you know, while we were on our break. He watches us on closed circuit TV down there. And he said that in that video of him where he's praying for Donald Trump had his hand on that same Bible that he took his inauguration on.
Wow.
The Bible that his mother gave him. Well, now you're going to want the DVD. You didn't really understand what this DVD was until we talked today about Lewis Island. This is we got the rights to these DVDs of our ministry, and it's the Wind of the Spirit, and it's the Lewis Island Revival of 1949 and 1952. These are the people who were in it and who were affected by it. They're giving their testimonies. Now, remember, Lewis Island had known awakenings all through the years, but in 1949 and 1952, it became famous. The awakening that happened there was famous because Duncan Campbell told about it. And who is on this are people from Lewis Island. I tell you, I love watching them.
Well, did you bring me one?
Glow, you could have this one.
I'm blessed.
But you know, here they are. They're sitting there in their little tweeds that they've woven. And they're speaking with their little Gaelic accent. And they tell, they're older, you know. They may be all gone by now. But they're telling their experiences when they were young people and how God moved on them in this awakening.
Good.
I love. And you'll hear the islanders singing the psalms in the backgrounds. You're going to want this now. Then I told the things I've been talking about with the Donald Trump and Max and all that, I told them here in this book, first of all, and then how to rightly divide the word of God.
Can I have the whole thing?
You can have the whole thing.
Is Billy, but what about this one?
Well, you can send for this.
Okay. If you need prayer, call our prayer line. Father, we're going to pray right now, but if you need further prayer, we'll call the prayer line. Father, we pray for every person. We ask you, Lord, for the healing anointing to flow into them, each one, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Be made whole in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take it. Take it with your faith. That's what you have to do to receive anything from God. This is Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim reminding you that
Jesus
is Lord.
You can watch this Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast again at kcm.org. Remember to download your free copy of the study notes at kcm.org/notes. 50 years of revelation. 50 years of anointed meetings. 50 years of lives changed. Culminating at one huge week-long event. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is celebrating 50 years of ministry, and there's no better place to celebrate with us than the Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas, with new dates, July 30th through August 5th. Start the week off with powerful worship from the One Worship Team. Join the Copelands, Jesse Duplantis, Jerry Savelle, Creflo Dollar, Bill Winston, and Keith Moore for life-changing messages from the Word of God. Come early to the morning and evening sessions for pre-service prayer with Terry Copeland Pearson's. Healing School is Saturday. Come with expectancy. Bring the whole family. Children and youth services are going on all week. The 2017 Southwest Believers Convention. Register today at kcm.org/swbc17.